Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stopping still, I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going well, the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going well, the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast wind, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Wah, wah, wah. Northeast winds sailing on summer breeze and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Everybody's talking at me, can't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave.
Good evening. It's Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020, or 2020, depending on how you want to say it. You've got Hank Jones. We are on Hank Jones Poly Sports, where politics and sports collide. Part of Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio Network. Every Wednesday at 6 o'clock, whether you want me or not, you got me. Well, I shouldn't say that. Some days, when it's falling on a holiday, I go earlier. Just to get it out of the way, and because it's a shorter day and all that stuff. I know people aren't going to want to spend an hour and a half listening to me, so I just sort of, you know, I did that on Christmas and New Year's Day each. So, but other than that, every Wednesday, 6 o'clock, unless I tell you in advance. If you want to call in, and I beg people to do it, but no one ever does, but if you want to call in, the number is 319-527-6706. You can always email me, hjpsports1980@gmail.com, although no one ever does. Facebook, I have a Facebook page, and of course Twitter, @hpolysports. You can tweet at me, about me, with me, for me, whatever. Like I said, every Wednesday, but hey, Twitter, Facebook, email, they're there all the time. So please reach out. And speaking of, let's get right to some news. Speaking of Facebook, my page got another violation. Remember I told you a couple months ago I got a violation for basically sharing something that they said was false or not, you know. Well, anyway, remember last week, I think it was last week or the week before, I just sort of mentioned that after the Golden Globes, when they're talking about the fires and climate change and all that, that they were conveniently leaving out the fact that there were, at that time, 24, and now there are over 100 arson arrests in Australia that could be, you know, part of that maybe. So I shared an article I found on Facebook. And here's what I get. I get this false information found on Hank Jones Poly Sports. Hank Jones Poly Sports shared information that's been reviewed by Science Feedback. We've added a notice to the post so others can see that it's false. Learn more about how fact-checking works on Facebook. And big deal, science feedback, fact-check, misleading. The claim rules out climate change as a factor in the severity of these fires and blames high arson activity. That's a lie. That's not what it said. The claim said that they were ignoring the fact that there were, at that time, 24 arson arrests. It didn't say a word about climate change. It only said that the climate deniers, or I mean, this isn't the climate, that the climate change fanatics were completely ignoring the fact that there were 24 arson arrests being investigated. That's all it said. Now, here's what they go on to say. To fight false news, Facebook reduces the distribution of misleading content while also showing additional reporting on the same topic. In other words, they erase yours and put out what they want. Pages and websites that repeatedly publish or share misleading content will see their overall distribution reduced, their ability to monetize and advertise removed, and their ability to register as a news page removed. I'm not registered as a news page, by the way. I'm registered as a podcast, a public figure with a podcast. People will also be able to see if a page has a history of sharing false news. Deleting the misleading content won't affect these outcomes. That's good because I have no intention of deleting it. Here's the funny part. I can't pull up what I reported now. Now I could go back in my feed, but I haven't done that. But let me just tell you a few other things I've gotten since this happened. Now this happened, I was notified on January 20th, so that was Monday. Since then, Tuesday, we're giving you a $5 off credit to boost a post on Hank Jones' Polysporch. Page admins boosted popular similar posts to reach more people. Today at 11:05 a.m., we're giving you $5 off to boost a post on Hank Jones' Polysports. Page admins boosted similar posts to reach more people. 11:16 a.m., we're giving you $5 off to boost a post on Hank Jones' Polysports. Page admins boosted similar posts to reach more people. 12:06 p.m., we're giving you $5 off to boost a post on Hank Jones' Polysports. Page admins boosted similar posts to reach more people. And finally, at 1:17 p.m., we're giving you $5 off to boost a post on Hank Jones' Polysports. Page admins boosted similar posts to reach more people. So, yeah, they're curbing down on my ability to monetize. They're not curbing their ability to monetize. They're just curbing my ability to monetize. Isn't that sweet? That is just, is that not unbelievable? Am I missing something here? Is that not just absolutely crazy nuts? I sure think so. I mean, I don't know. You know, just all I can say is wow. Wow. I never said it was the sole cause. The article didn't say it was the sole cause. What it did say was that they were ignoring the fact that there were 24 arrests for arson attributed in part to those fires. They wouldn't be investigating them out of the blue, let's hope. So, yeah, folks, kind of not cool, like, at all, if you ask me. So, yeah, there's what I think of Facebook sometimes. Now, again, I have my page, and I do point stuff out, and I do even save articles on Facebook for reference for this show and for other things. So, but in the meantime, yeah, Facebook gives me this violation, this penalty, and then they completely go off the rails and start asking me to boost my posts. Speaking of, I got this from Zero Hedge through a Facebook link. A Swedish politician says the government has lost control after new figures reveal a 60% rise in bombings in 2019 over 2018 as a result of what Reuters called, quote, a surge in drug-linked violence, unquote. Moderate party leader Ulf Kristersson. And by the way, that is as good a Swedish name as you'll ever hear. Ulf Kristersson noted that there were recent bomb attacks in Stockholm and central Uppsala. There were 257 bombings in 2019, up from 162 in 2018, an increase of 58%. So it wasn't 60, but whatever. While there is no breakdown of the exact types of explosives used, the use of grenades is on the rise. Grenades, called apples by criminals, I guess for short for pineapples or whatever, the grenades were smuggled in from the former Yugoslavia. Swedish police have identified 60 vulnerable areas, primarily in and around major cities where high unemployment, low incomes, drugs, and gangs have taken root. Well, no kidding. Swedish government is providing extra resources to fighting organized crime. Yeah. Let's take a look at the numbers from recent years and see how what's affecting that. Okay, more from Sweden, folks. Remember several weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, there was a thing that came out about Facebook and other social media that there was some kind of a glitch. And one of the things that glitch revealed was that it revealed who was behind some of the social media posting and blog posting, et cetera, including good old Greta Thunberg, everyone's favorite Swedish maniac. If you remember, like I said, several weeks ago, it turns out that her daddy, Svante, is the one who's posting her stuff. We already knew he was maintaining her puppet strings, but yeah, he's the one posting it. So anyway, Greta Thunberg's dad, Svante, via manipulation of Greta's puppet strings, says nothing has been done to combat climate change in the 18 months since she began puppeteering his teen daughter. In other words, he's screaming, nothing's been done. This latest statement came at the World Economic Forum, held annually in posh ski area Davos, Switzerland. Not to worry, though, invites might start being withheld from those who don't do enough. Per Greta the Marionette, richer countries need to get down to zero emissions much faster and then help poorer countries do the same. All this wonderful elitism aside, how in the hell is it that poor countries even have emissions? Or at least emissions enough that would be at a level that would contribute to alarmist behavior and climate change. Seriously. I'll tell you what, for a teenage kid, Greta the puppet sure does a hell of a lot of traveling. Let's hope Svante has a big enough briefcase to carry his kid around in, because literally living through his teenage kid to do political posting. Why not just do it yourself? I mean, I get it. I use my name, but it's like I said, it's not about me. It's about other people in this network that could be affected. But you know what? I wouldn't post as a 17-year-old kid either. Okay, meanwhile, an Iranian member of parliament offered $3 million for killing President Trump. Ahmed Hamizeh told the 290-seat parliament his words, on behalf of Kerman province, we will pay a $3 million reward in cash to whoever kills Trump. The city of Kerman is located in the province south of the capital of Tehran. It's the hometown of Qasem Soleimani, who, of course, was killed in a drone strike January 3rd this year. The U.S. mainstream media has, of course, pretty much ignored this whole thing. But yeah, so there's that. People calling for the killing of our president, and nobody's doing anything about it. Lovely. More politics. It seems Tulsi Gabbard, Hawaii congresswoman and former Democratic presidential candidate, is suing Hillary Rodham Clinton for defamation over remarks that Hillary Rodham Clinton made on a political podcast titled Campaign HQ with David Plouffe back in October. In the podcast, Clinton described Gabbard as a, quote, Russian asset, unquote, and said she was being groomed by the Russians as a third-party candidate. She furthered that with, quote, that's assuming Jill Stein will give it up, which she might not because she's also a Russian asset. Yeah, she's a Russian asset. I mean, totally, unquote. The $50 million suit claims that Hillary Rodham Clinton's statements caused Gabbard to, quote, lose potential donors and potential voters, unquote, and says that Gabbard is entitled to, quote, special and punitive damages, dot, 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 in view of Clinton's malicious and unrepentant conduct. Want to know the irony here, folks? David Plouffe, for whom the podcast is presumably named and run by, he was the campaign manager for Barack Obama's successful campaign in 2008, which, if you'll remember, in the primary, he steamrolled right over Hillary on the way to getting the nomination and then later on the White House. More irony, Plouffe himself was fined $90,000 by the Chicago Board of Ethics in 2017 for failing to register as a lobbyist after contacting then Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel on behalf of Uber. Folks, do you know how ludicrous the term Chicago Board of Ethics actually is? I mean, what the hell? What, I mean, that's like the Marion Barry Institute for a Drug-Free District of Columbia. The Chicago Board of Ethics? Oh, man, that is just, that's priceless. Seriously, the Chicago Board of Ethics fining Barack Obama's campaign manager for reaching out to one of Barack Obama's former chiefs of staff. Beautiful. A little sports news. Michigan State head football coach Mark D'Antonio will be the second highest paid coach in college football in 2020. He accrues a longevity bonus of $4.3 million as part of a deal extension that was signed back in February of 2016 after Michigan State had won three of the last six Big Ten championships and a berth in the college football playoff after the 2015 season. For 2020, D'Antonio remains behind only Alabama head coach Nick Saban, who will make $9.1 million. D'Antonio will make $8.3 million and passing, for the time being anyway, the $8.25 million made by Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney. And frankly, you know, all this is in the face of a federal lawsuit. There's a federal lawsuit filed against D'Antonio and the university by a former assistant, Curtis Blackwell. He was fired after it was determined he was at fault over the recent recruitment and subsequent behavior of former Spartan Austin Robertson. Austin Robertson was recruited. There was a big meeting that included D'Antonio on getting this guy into school. He had some serious checkered past in his youth. They got him in, and ironically, after that, he actually turned in some teammates after a sexual assault of a friend of his. And then subsequently, about 6 months to a year later, he was arrested for raping a girl. When he was walking her to her room after a dinner with another person, he left the other person out in the car while he raped the girl. Yeah. And not only that, the Michigan State staff has sort of been reshuffled earlier in 2019, assistants being demoted, put on 1-year deals as opposed to 2-year deals. And that's on top of other issues at Michigan State among several of their sports, sexual abuse by staff, sexual assaults by players. I'm not as anti-Mark D'Antonio as some. I'm really not. I think he's a good coach. I think he's probably a good guy. But, man, this deal, I'm sorry. It seems to me Michigan State could have at least explored the possibility of restructuring this. Although, on the other hand, like I said, you know, I think Mark D'Antonio is a good coach. I know they've had a couple of rough years, but he's elevated that program in his 14 years there. There's no doubt. He's brought them further than they were, even, you know, to Saban levels. I mean, Saban got him to Citrus Bowl, but Saban never got him to a BCS Bowl. And D'Antonio's done that several times. Okay. Former Steelers wide receiver and sort of former Raiders Patriots wide receiver Antonio Brown. He's reappeared in the news this past week. Yeah, he streamed an altercation with police and his baby mama in front of his kids at his Hollywood, Florida home. While cussing was certainly a major component of this thing, the insults he was hurling at cops and at his baby mama in full view of his kids was, I'm sorry, it's utterly disturbing. Google it. It's not hard to find. I mean, it's disturbing when you hear it, see and hear what he was doing. I mean, it's just in front of his kids. And then he streams and posts it to social media accounts. I mean, what was he thinking? I'm sorry, you watch this. If you do this yourself, there's no way on God's green earth you can say, you know what, I'm going to post this to Instagram. This is good stuff. Oh, and now apparently, as of today, he's locked himself in his house down in Hollywood while Hollywood police are trying to contact him over an alleged battery. It seems his trainer, Glenn Holt, was arrested and charged with battery on a moving truck driver who was delivering some of Brown's possessions to his home. They're trying to talk to Brown about his possible role in the incident. And I guess neighbors are fed up with Brown's behavior too. Duh. But the kicker, Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has, quote, conditionally resigned, unquote, as Brown's agent per a notification to the NFL. I would guess a contract might reverse that quote unquote conditional resignation. I mean, if he gets another contract, I'm sure Drew Rosenhaus will certainly represent him. But what the hell, still? What the hell? I mean, by the way, you know, getting fired by Drew Rosenhaus is akin to being told by American Express, please leave home without our card. Literally. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus would represent anyone and has. So Drew Rosenhaus saying he's conditionally terminated it is conditionally being the operative word. Some happier news. Florida Gator, former Florida Gator, 2007 Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow tied the knot with fiance, the former Miss Universe 2017, Demi Lee Nell Peters, double hyphen. Demi Lee is hyphenated and Nell Peters is hyphenated. This past Monday in South Africa, evidently I believe she's from there, many of the guests were emotional and brought to tears, including his Florida coach, Urban Meyer, who had several comments. It was beautiful. It was easy to see how much they're in love, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's funny. Urban Meyer, he did not get a raw deal. When he left Florida and then turned around and took the Ohio State job, a lot of people were mad. Rightfully so. He said it was health. He sat out a whole year, and then he took the Ohio State job. You know, that's kind of, huh. But his Ohio State career didn't end the way it should have, certainly. There was all the fuss about one of his assistants, Zach Smith, I think it was, being involved in some domestic violence issues, and supposedly the wife telling Urban's wife about it, and supposedly Urban knowing nothing. Now, in his defense, his wife, as a nurse, confidentiality, all that, HIPAA, if he didn't know, if she didn't tell him, I would not be shocked, honestly. I honestly wouldn't. But there were other indicators that that he probably did know and was probably withholding it. He eventually terminated the contract of or the employment of Zach Smith, who, by the way, was the grandson, I believe, of former Buckeye coach Earl Bruce, I believe, or somehow related. So there was that. But I'll tell you what, you know, he last year was his final year. They did not make the playoff, if you remember. They did this year, and they got kind of rooked in their game against Clemson, but whatever, don't leave it up to the refs and all that stuff. But he's an analyst on Fox Sports and on Big Ten Network, which is majority owned by Fox Sports. So, but he's an analyst. He does, you know, halftime, pregame, but mostly does a lot of insight stuff. And I'll tell you what, he's a good analyst. He knows his stuff. I mean, it's not hard to see why he was a successful coach at Bowling Green, and then at Utah. Remember, they broke into the BCS mode and won a couple BCS bowl games before being in the Pac-12, and then why he did well at Florida, and then why he did well at Ohio State. It's not hard to see why. at all. His analysis is excellent. He knows the game. He's passionate about the game. If he really has health issues that prevent him from coaching, then it really is too bad, because I think he's had some glaring shortcomings. Aaron Hernandez at Florida, plus other stuff at Florida, where off-field issues, but Aaron Hernandez certainly being one of them. But he knows the game, and if he can't coach and really loves it, that's too bad. But I'll tell you what, as an analyst, as an on-air personality, the guy is excellent. I will say that. I really enjoyed him this year, watching him. Now, part of that, I'm going to full disclosure, part of that is he was gracious about the Iowa Hawkeyes. Talked up our program a lot. Talked up Kirk Ferentz. And some would say, well, it's because they cleaned his clock in 2017. Maybe. But, you know, even during that game, he was gracious, and he made no excuses the following year or the following the game and the rest of the season. So, no, don't, you know, yeah, it's nice that he talked graciously about the program, but he just knows his stuff. So the fact that he's not able to coach, if that's his love, it's kind of sad. But I'll tell you what, he shouldn't give up what he's doing now, because he's real good at it. He may not want to be a sports anchor. I would get that, and it's probably not his best fit. But as a, you know, as a football analyst and as a commentator, et cetera, he's fantastic. He really is. I got to give him that. So glad he had a good time at the wedding. We got some college basketball news. Number one did not lose again this week. That's right. Gonzaga, who was last week's number one, did not lose again. They went 2-0 this week. They beat Santa Clara and BYU, Brigham Young. Except, here's the thing, Gonzaga is no longer number one. No, they are not. Voters in the AP/media poll put Baylor at number one. You know, they had two wins over Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Now, both those teams are 9-9, so it's not like, now, they probably based on Baylor's previous work, obviously, but those two wins shouldn't have been enough to put them over the top. Both those teams are 9-9. It's not like they had two huge wins. The coaches poll also, the coaches poll still has Gonzaga number one. So in that vein, you know, we got a split poll, I guess you'd say. It's been, and by the way, in the AP poll, since 1983, it's the most number ones in the history of the poll in a given season. I think they're at 7 or 8 now, different ones. So that's interesting. One poll bumps up Baylor. And let's face it, that program, both football and basketball, has had some issues the past 10 years. But so, yeah, Baylor's number one in the media poll, Gonzaga in the coaches poll. And speaking of polls, last night, number three Kansas took on Kansas State. That game featured an end-of-game bench-clearing brawl, as they like to call it. Kansas was up by 20. And Kansas State's DeJuan Gordon got a steal, took the ball going for a layup, and Silvio D'Souza, who, by the way, I think he was part of some of that FBI investigation stuff, or certainly had some eligibility questions, as I remember. But he blocked the shot, kind of forcibly knocked Gordon down to the floor near the end line, and then stood looking over him. Which basically prompted the benches to clear. D'Souza threw several punches, grabbed a stool. He literally grabbed a stool from courtside. I don't know where that stool was, but he grabbed it. A Kansas assistant stopped him, basically got in his face, got the chair away from him before he could use it. Thank God. But, yeah, not a pretty end of the game. Kansas State closed it. I guess they were up by 22, and Kansas State closed it to 21. They got a one-shot technical at the end of it. But literally every sub from both teams was ejected from the game. So only the 10 guys on the floor were not ejected. For his part, I'll give KU coach Bill Self this. He announced D'Souza is suspended indefinitely pending further review by the school and by the Big 12 Conference. He has come out and he said, this was just so wrong. This is not what our these players are taught. This is not what we are supposed to be about. And he said, you know, look, I get that guys are at the end of the game and trying to go give their all the whole time, but this is just not acceptable. So this Silvio D'Souza has been suspended. So that's good. I got to give him that. You know, in spite of some of his notoriety that he's gaining with some of this FBI stuff. So kudos to Bill Self for doing that. If you look online and see it, it's not pretty, folks. I mean, I get you think a guy is showing you up. And if you're up 20 or if you're down 20, I guess if it's a 5-point swing, I don't know. But when you're up 20, God, let it go. If you're down 20, I get it. You think it's being thrown in your face. But if you're up 20, what do you care? You shake the guy's hand at the end of the game. You say, hey, kind of weird, but on the other hand, good effort, good steal. You know, thanks for keeping it in perspective and giving it your all till the end. I get it. But, dude, scoreboard. And you leave it at that. You pat the guy on the back. You say, good game. Better luck next time. Better luck next game. Don't give up on the season. Whatever you say. But, man, I mean, okay, the guy stole the ball and he was going to rub your face in it. Blah, blah, blah. You were up by 20-something points. You literally did not. I mean, going for the block, I get. I do. But, man, come on. Taking it next level, knocking the guy down on the block and then standing over him and then throwing punches. Grabbing a stool? What in the hell? Come on, man. Silvio D'Souza, get it together. Okay, more basketball. My Iowa Hawkeyes, they take on Rutgers tonight in Iowa City. That's not a shock because that's a scheduled game. Here's the shock. Both teams are ranked. The Hawks are 19th. We've won three in a row. Two of those over teams that were ranked at the time we played them, by the way, over Maryland and then over Michigan. Michigan, we avenged a loss from the first game of the Big Ten season. So there's that. Rutgers is 24th in the coaches in the media poll, 25th in the coaches. It's the first time they have been ranked since 1979. They have won two games in a row. Yeah, the last time they were ranked was the last poll of the 1978-1979 season. Now, Steve Pikkel, I'll tell you, he's doing a good job there at Rutgers. He really is. They've got some really good athletes. They play great defense. They are, I believe, the best defensive scoring defense in the Big Ten, or maybe it's second. They've got no bad losses in conference, along with some really good wins. I think they might have one out-of-conference loss that wasn't pretty, but no, they've got they've only lost four games. The Hawkeyes are 13-5 or 14-5, and Rutgers is, I think, 14-4. So yeah, they got some good wins. They must have two because I think they're a game ahead of us in the standings. We're 4-3 and they're 5-2, I believe. So they've got two non-conference losses and two conference losses, both on the road. You know, Big Ten teams for the most part are winning at home. A couple of road wins last night, if I remember correctly. Or at least one, Illinois, beat Purdue on the road. But, yeah, this is going to be a good game. If you have Fox Sports 1 or if you got a streaming package that includes it or whatever, check it out. I mean, the Hawks are looking good. I mean, we're down some players. Jordan Bohannon, shut it down for the season with his hip. Jack Nungy with the ACL injury. C.J. Frederick is back. But, you know, we lost guys from last year. Tyler Cook went pro a year early. Isaiah Moss transferred to Kansas and frankly hasn't done a lot there. He's had some good games, but he's not tearing it up there. Macy Daly went off to Akron. I think he's actually sitting out for the year under the normal transfer rule. I do not believe he's certainly not the impact player that Moss and that Cook were. Plus we lost also Nick Bear from last year's team. He graduated, but so no, Fran McCaffrey has done a good job. Luca Garza's absolutely tearing it up. He's leading the Big Ten in scoring and rebounding. I think he's averaging – he might not be leading in rebounding. He's leading in scoring. He's averaging a double-double. Having a great year. Hopefully he stays for his senior year. But if not, kudos for his great year. The guy's just been beat up. I mean, he's had stitches in his mouth and lost a tooth. But the guy's just a banger inside. He's got a good touch outside. An effort guy as well. I mean, up and down the court, never lets up. Just fun to watch. C.J. Frederick has made a huge difference. A lot of people speculate that C.J. Frederick coming along is the reason that Isaiah Moss left and went to Kansas. Personally, I don't know, but he certainly has done a great job this year. Great shooter, great defender. Really, really adds a lot to the team. Joe Wieskamp is looking good. So catch that game. Rutgers is a good team, and the Hawkeyes are a good team, and hopefully we're gonna see some good game, good ball tonight. Okay, unless you have been in hiding, you know by now that Super Bowl 54 is set with the San Francisco 49ers taking on Kansas City Chiefs down in Miami. It'll be Sunday, February 2nd. The last Super Bowl for the Chiefs was 50 seasons ago. They beat the Vikings 23-7 in the 1970 Super Bowl after the 69 season. Minnesota, by the way, has been to 4 Super Bowls and never won. The 49ers were last there 7 seasons ago. Yeah, that was back when Colin Kaepernick still stood for the national anthem, by the way, yeah. Those San Francisco's obviously got the edge in terms of being a bigger dump of a city. KC's getting in the spirit of things. They had a little hullabaloo Sunday night. There was a bar in the self-proclaimed barbecue capital of America in Kansas City. There was a bar fight there. A guy opened fire at a place called 9 Ultra Lounge. Folks were celebrating and collecting outside in a line, and 25-year-old woman was killed. 15 people were injured before a security guard inside the club ran outside, armed security guard, shot and killed the shooter. And Kansas City's mayor and police chief, as if by prearrangement, literally, they're quick to blame this on an epidemic of gun violence, naturally. Not on just somebody being an idiot, being a thug. So, yeah, there's that. So, yeah, we got the Super Bowl coming up. Miami and Kansas City. In Miami, San Francisco and Kansas City. Both teams feature at least 2 former Hawkeyes. San Francisco, of course, all-world tight end George Kittle, and then backup quarterback C.J. Beathard. Now, this is great for him because he's not been activated all year. But after the death of his brother a few weeks ago, it's good for him to just, hopefully this is something that will help keep his mind off it a bit, just being there, preparing for the game as an emergency quarterback, if that's his role. But getting to go, if they win, he gets a ring, For the Chiefs, Ben Neiman and Anthony Hitchens. Anthony Hitchens is a starting linebacker. Ben Neiman's a backup linebacker. I thought somebody said Ross Reynolds was also on the Chiefs. I didn't see that. I just saw that there were 4 former Hawks in the Super Bowl. So, for former Hawkeyes to be there, that's one of the things that's nice to see, obviously. In the poly sports world, let's see, Monday, we had the pro gun rally in Virginia this past Monday, drew thousands, or tens of thousands of armed citizens, and no violence. Now, despite this, Virginia Governor Ralph Blackface, I'll call him Mammy Northam, despite that, he was citing and predicting all kinds of violence would occur. None did. Pre-rally comments were about as bad as his presumptions of violence, literally, or his post-rally comments. He pretty much concluded that someone somewhere must have messed up, literally. here is the here's the 411 Governor Mammy. You know, I take that Governor Mammy from I think it was from Al Jolson, the jazz singer, or one of those, where he dresses up in blackface and he's like, Mammy. Benny Hill did a hilarious skit on it where he just said, Mammy, it's me, Sammy, I'm home from Alabama. So that's why I'm calling him Governor Mammy. First, you anticipated that your Soros-paid thug attendance was going to materialize. And frankly, it didn't. Even mob thug types aren't stupid enough to make waves when there are tens of thousands of responsible gun owners around. You know why? Why, you may ask? I'll tell you why. Because experienced, lawful gun usage will almost always get the better of a scattered group of idiots who think that being indignant and petulant is enough to always get their way. It's what it boils down to, Governor Mammy. Even the village idiot comes in out of the rain, Governor Mammy. Antifa thugs are no different. Literally, they're no different in that regard. They understand the difference between being the anti-jocks in the corner of the stadium who scream versus the throngs of loyal fans all over the stadium. You know, remember that? There'd always, in high school, like in the corner of a stadium or an arena, who the jocks, the anti-jocks would be in the corner screaming stuff when they weren't out stepping out for a little bit of a toke and all that stuff. And they'd always scream and they'd be tough. But if anybody ever got close to them, then they'd shut the hell up. Same thing here. Antifa would love to have shown up. But probably some did when they got there and realized that they were amidst tens of thousands of people that were packing, lawful, responsible, respectful. Once they saw that, no, they weren't going to. No. Something else, Governor Mammy. Lawful, experienced, and respectful gun owners are not all white. They're not all extremists. They're not all rednecks. They're not all morons. Lawful, experienced, and respectful gun owners are white, are black, are Hispanic, are Asian, are Arabic, are Jewish, are Christian, are secular. Etc. Frigging, etc. They're respectful. That respect includes being cautious when necessary, not brandishing their nine that they've had stuffed down their pants and waving it around to act tough. You know what? In spite of all this, the Virginia Senate, the democratically led Virginia Senate, of course, has advanced their frigging red flag legislation that will allow authorities to take guns away from people deemed, quote, dangerous to themselves or others. Guess what, Governor Mammy? You've just been handed thousands upon thousands of pieces of evidence, of proof, of a ton of people, thousands upon thousands, who aren't subject to these laws. In other words, Governor Mammy, you're instituting legislation or attempting to institute legislation, and it's going to do one of two things. Have no effect because you're not addressing the problem, criminals, the mentally ill, crime itself. You're not addressing that, or you are going after law-abiding, law-respecting, firearms-abiding, firearms-respecting gun owners. That's good, Governor Mammy. There's no in-between here. You're not going to catch the, oh, man, here's a lawful gun owner. He just went, see, we knew. The gun made him nuts. That's not going to happen. You're not going to have some guy that, because he owns a gun, decides that he's a nutcase and go around shooting people. Law-abiding, respectful, experienced, responsible gun owners don't do that, Governor Mammy. They don't. What you're attempting to do is disarm those law-abiding, respectful, experienced, proficient firearms owners. You're not going after criminals, because if you were, you would already gone after the criminals who have already committed crimes. You would distinguish between unlawful gun usage and lawful firearms ownership. What you're doing is trying to use legislation to circumvent that, Governor Mammy. Seriously, this guy painted himself up in blackface, did a blackface routine, and he's still the governor of that state. Does anyone see the irony here? In a state that wants to pull down statues, rewrite and or erase history, and yet this guy's still the governor after doing a blackface routine. Good God, Virginia. The state of Virginia in this case. What kind of morons are you to put people like this in office? To let people like this stay in office? No, Governor Mammy. You're not doing good here. You're just a moron. And you're a bigot besides. Okay, let's try and dial this back a bit. From the Alliance Defending Freedom website, there comes a piece by Ryan Everson. It's called "What a Professor of Sports Physiology Has to Say About Men Competing in Women's Sports." Well, I got this off of a link, off of a Facebook link, but the Alliance Defending Freedom has filed the Title IX complaint in Connecticut. If you'll remember the story in Connecticut, one of their legal representatives that filed the Title IX complaint on behalf of a couple of athletes there. So let me read this. It's posted on January 17th, 2020 by Ryan Everson. It's adflegal.org if you want to look it up. Okay, here's the article. Common sense tells us that males have a physical disadvantage over females in athletics. Some activists claim that males who receive cross-sex hormones and artificially lower their testosterone levels should be allowed to compete against females. But recent studies have proven that these methods do not negate the performance gap between sexes, and how forcing females to compete against males unfairly strips them of their right to a fair playing field. Since 2017, the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference has allowed male athletes who identify as females to compete in girls' high school sports. And the results have been devastating for female athletes. Since this policy change, males now hold 15 state track and field championship titles that were previously held by 9 females. And female track athletes have lost more than 40 opportunities to participate in higher level competitions. That's why Alliance Defending Freedom is representing high school athletes in Connecticut like Alana Smith and Selena Sewell to reverse this policy and restore a fair playing field so women have an equal opportunity to succeed once again. Here's my little aside. This is Hank speaking. Remember, Title IX, the objective is to provide for equal opportunities to compete for females. In June, ADF filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights, which has launched an investigation into the matter in Connecticut. And last week, an expert declaration from Dr. Gregory A. Brown of the University of Nebraska shed some light on how policies like the CIAC's harm female athlete? How much advantage do male athletes have over females? Dr. Brown found that allowing males to compete against female athletes could allow, quote, many who would not be considered top-tier male performers, unquote, to replace the world's most skilled female athletes on the podium. For example, in 2017 alone, well over 5,000 males, including some males under 18 years old, ran 400-meter times that were faster than the personal bests of U.S. Olympic gold medalists Sonia Richards-Ross and Alexson Felix. Now, for you folks that don't know about track, this is me again, this is Hank. For you folks that don't know about track, you're basically talking about the two best 400-meter and 200-meter runners in the last 20 years for American females. Back to the article. Dr. Brown's declaration showed that policies like the CIAC's would do even greater harm to female athletes in other sports, such as jumping. A study found that for jumping competitions, including high jump, pole vault, and other events, 10-year-old boys averaged a performance difference just over 6% greater than 10-year-old girls. But by the end of puberty, that performance difference approached 20%. Separate studies found that the performance gap was greater than 20% for long-distance triathlons and as high as 36.8% for weightlifting. Some people acknowledge these differences, but assert that males who identify as female should be allowed to compete in female athletics if they receive androgen inhibitors and cross-sex hormones. But these methods do not reverse the distinct advantage males have over females. Dr. Brown elaborates, it is obvious that some effects of male puberty that confer advantages for athletic performance, in particular bone size and density and configuration, cannot be reversed once they have occurred. In other words, you can take the hormones, lose some hair, maybe lose the Adam apple, whatever. But the bone density's there. The bone size is there. The configuration's there. Dr. Brown goes on to demonstrate how puberty creates height and mass differences that provide a significant advantage for males. And no hormone treatments can compensate for that advantage. Dr. Brown also cited five separate studies to further prove this point. One study was even conducted by researchers who were sympathetic to transgender ideology. But despite their personal opinions, the scientific facts required researchers to recognize that the irreversible physical differences between males and females, quote, provide a strong argument that trans women have an intolerable advantage over biological females, unquote. For the past several decades, female athletes have seen their opportunities grow steadily. The average number of collegiate women's sports teams has more than tripled since Congress passed Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972. Side note here. This has also meant a decrease in men's sports. Iowa wrestling coach Dan Gable, I've mentioned him before, talked about Title IX. Didn't speak at a rally for Al Gore, I believe it was, in 1988, because of that his stance and because of Gore's stance on Title IX. Many wrestling programs were lost because of Title IX. It wasn't just wrestling. Iowa State, for as an example, lost their men's baseball program. Now you can say, well, their program sucked; they weren't doing much. But you know what? That's a program that's gone because of Title IX. Under Title IX. Yes, women compete more, but for every woman that's able to compete, a male's lost an opportunity. Okay, back to the article. In that same time, and in that same time span, women have also been given the opportunity to compete in key sports such as basketball, softball, and tennis at the Olympics. In fact, many of America's most famous Olympic athletes are women, such as Serena Williams, Simone Biles, and Katie Ledecky. But Dr. Brown's declaration shows that if female athletes are forced to compete against biological males, even these Olympians would not have a fair chance to compete. And young girls would be unable to fulfill their dreams no matter how hard they work. That is why ADF is standing for female athletes like Selena Sewell and Alana Smith. Because sex is real, sex makes a difference, and these brave girls deserve a fair playing field. For decades, Title IX and other changes have helped female athletes move forward. We must avoid harmful policies like the CIAC's that move them backwards. Across the U.S., female athletes like Selena Sewell and Alana Smith are being forced to compete against biological males. Activists are pushing schools and athletic associations to adopt harm policies that allow male athletes who identify as girls to compete in high school women's sports. This isn't progress, and it's not fair. These policies violate Title IX, which is designed to protect women's equality in education and sports. And they rob girls of scholarships, athletic opportunities, and dreams of competing at the next level. So there you have it. I'll keep harping on this. I won't beat it into the ground every week, obviously, but I'll keep harping on this. Remember, we're not talking about equality. We're talking about mental disease. And like I said, it's like the Richardson Olympics in Mr. Mom. This isn't about just the kids. I mean, you know, a kid that, you know, some of these guys have competed up until like their junior years of high school or college. And then they decide that they identify as female and decide to compete as female. Folks, that's a mental disease. At worst, it's a mental disease. At best, it's just a cop out. It's a twisted sense, a twisted delusion. If you really want a medal that bad that you'll decide to compete as a female, whatever. But it's a mental disease. It's not about equality. It's not about how you identify. It's a mental disease. When you see some of these kids, when you see the father saying, "That's my girl," and filming their son running against other girls, that's not parental support. That's mental disease. So that's why I read articles about like this. That's why I cite articles like this. It's not about equality, folks. This is a mental disease. And the twisted fact of this, I mean, women, female athletes are the ones losing opportunities. This isn't even a matter of guys losing the opportunity. This is female athletes. The very people that Title IX is supposed to benefit are being robbed. And frankly, you know, the hormone difference stuff, you know, there was a UFC fight of a former male turned female who fought and beat the living crap out of a female athlete. They weighed the same. It doesn't matter. Bone density is different. Muscular composition is different. It's just flat out sick. Hey, want to welcome Annie to the chat room? Annie's here. So, folks, if you got smart stuff to say, Annie's here in the chat room. She's got a lot of smart stuff to say. So you can learn a few things. Welcome, Annie. And sorry I'm ranting as you get here. You missed my Second Amendment pro-gun rally rant about Governor Mammy from Virginia. Oh. Folks, there are some real psycho/mental cases out here. There just are. I mean, when you have people that want to use red flag laws, when you know darn well, I mean, it's not about taking guns away from potential dangerous people. If it were, they would have, you know, you wouldn't have had like the Parkland shooter. You wouldn't have had the Virginia Tech shooter. Frankly, you wouldn't have had Columbine. Because there were plenty of people that knew what was going on there. They may not have known when, but they knew what. They knew the potential. And don't tell me that people weren't, that there weren't people going over computer stuff and looking at stuff before that. There were. They just want a reason to use an end run to take guns away from lawful, law-abiding, respectful gun owners. In the case of transgenders, sorry. I mean, you know, look, if you're a quote-unquote gay rights person, more power to you. I don't care. I'm not anti-gay. But in the case of the trans stuff, I've never understood the T in LGBT because it's based on deception. And in a place that would let a male compete as a female, especially one who has not undergone hormonal treatment or any type of surgery, it's just a guy braiding his hair. Sorry. That's deception. That's not about rights. It's not about equality. Equality is the last thing that's about. It's about deception. So I don't understand the trans in the LGBT, whatever else, QIA, whatever. There's about 27 letters now, even though there are only 26 in our alphabet. Literally, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about being mean. Oh, Hank, you're mean. Hank, you're anti. I'm not anti. In this case, I am pro-athlete. I am pro-female athlete. No, I'll be the first to say I don't watch women's basketball. I don't watch figure skating. I don't watch men's figure skating either. I don't care for it. I'm not anti-figure. I'm not into sports, especially at the Olympic level, where it's about judging versus about flat-out performance. Track and field, you know who wins. Swimming race, you know who wins. Figure skating, not so much. Yeah, I mean, it's judging. It's judging. I'm sorry, I just don't. So I'm not as into those sports. Is it artistic? Hell yes. Are they good athletes? Absolutely. But I'm not into those. But how soon before you see a men's gymnast who identifies as a female? There are certain things in the gymnastics world that a man is going to be better at. And when I say better, is going to have advantages. So that's the sickness. Steve Dace was on my show on July 31st of 2019, and he was right. He says it's a mental disease. That's what it is. It's mental illness. So before someone comes up to you and says, no, this is about equality, this is about rights, this is about understanding, it's about none of that. It's about being woke, being feel good. And you know what else? This is just a hypothesis. This is Hank ranting. This is Hank just going off. I would bet you that more than half of the people that are clamoring for this crap don't know crap about sports, don't understand sports, because only those people could allow it. Only those types of people would allow a boy who thinks he's a girl to run against girls. No sane, athletic-minded person would entertain the idea that that's equality or that it's a level playing field. Only an idiot thinks that that's a level playing field. Only an idiot thinks that that's quote-unquote equality. A moron who calls it freedom doesn't understand what freedom is or what it means, because this isn't about freedom. It's frankly about inequality. It's about bullying. I mean, it's literally about bullying, but it's not bullying like the fourth grade kid on the playground who's bigger than everyone else and takes lunch money or pushes you off the swing. We're not talking about that kind. We're talking legislative bullying, bureaucratic bullying. That's what it is, that type of bullying. And frankly, those people are more dangerous than the usual physical bully. Fact. Flat out fact. Yeah. I'm going to take a quick break, about a minute and a half, for a little music, and for me, a chance to finish my coffee. Be right back. I'm back. You are on Hank Jones Polysports, part of Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio Network. Yes, yes indeed. Let me tell you about some other shows on Global Patriot Radio Network, by the way. I'm not the only one. If I were, there'd be nobody listening ever, because I don't have 7 days worth of being interesting or funny or entertaining. Or smart. That's probably the operative there. Monday nights, you should tune in at 6 o'clock because on Monday nights, Vito Esposito and Big Al bring you Mamma Mia No Sharia. All kinds of good stuff on that show. 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock every Monday. Tuesday nights from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Eric from Kafiristan is on with Radio Free Kafiristan. Again, a lot of insight into both programs. A lot of insight into the Muslim world, the politics of the Muslim world. I don't want to say beyond. I understand it. I'm just not as well versed in it. But great shows. Of course, I'm here Wednesdays. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with Civilization Jihad Awareness, sometimes called or also called the Sutliffian Report. Paul goes, I think, at 6 now or 7. He's on for an hour and a half to 2 hours. Another brilliant mind. Fridays, that's where it's different. Noon or 1 o'clock, you gotta come on and check the showrunners. You have to look on the Global Patriot Radio page to see the upcoming episodes. So it's either noon or 1 o'clock. Andrew Herod brings you Islam and Focus. Saturdays, again, off the normal time, 10 o'clock to midnight. Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy bring you Revealing the Truth About Islam. And you want to talk about brilliant, encyclopedic, but more than that, there's just a Minister Usama Dakduk just has a presence and also a calmness. I mean, I'm not sure I could talk about some of the stuff. You know, when I listen to some of these other shows, even I get hacked. I mean, I part of the reason I just took that break is because I get going and I get ranting. Well, these guys don't. Usama is one of them. He is just level-headed, calm, insightful, and factual. So that's a way to keep yourself calm if you're like me and you get indignant, etc. Sundays, Eric from Kafiris, Diane, is back. He goes at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, depending. I think it's 2 o'clock Central Time is why I read it that way, and 3 o'clock Eastern. That is Real Interfaith Dialogue. And that is a chance to hear and read and listen and compare without getting in a shouting match. It's basically, I think Christianity and Islam are compared and talked about. I'm not sure how much Judaism is brought into it, but certainly that's certainly another, you know, element of the discussion, but it's the Real Interfaith. Catch those other shows on Global Patriot Radio, part of Blog Talk Radio. Great stuff. Great minds. You know, get in the chat on some of those shows and you really see just some absolutely excellent, excellent insight, knowledge, stuff you learn all the time. It's really fun. It's you know, you're not listening to a Rush Limbaugh or a Sean Hannity or a Michael Savage. And again, nothing wrong with those. I listen to them myself. Great people, great stuff. But at a certain point, it becomes entertainment. And, you know, it becomes not a shtick, but it becomes, you know, they have a theme. So, you know, you get to that point. You don't get that on Global Patriot Radio. You get people that are passionate, but they're not doing it to bring any glory to themselves. And again, I'm not, you know, to be a Rush Limbaugh or a Sean Hannity or a Michael Savage, part of that is you have to create a personality and a persona. I get that. So I'm not knocking them for that. That's what they do. But you don't get that. I mean, you don't get that with Vito and Al. You get guys that are passionate about what they're bringing you. You get that with Eric. You get that with Paul, you know, with Andrew, with Usama and Christy. You get people that are bringing their passion, but not seeking to make themselves more than the topic that they bring you. So check those out. Please do. Okay. I said I'd talk about it. This is the last thing I want to talk about. I'm telling you, it's the impeachment hoax is underway. We knew it was going to be. I told you it was going to be. I told you on my showrunner that I was going to talk about it even. I don't even like dignifying this. I am so sorry that I'm having to talk about this. I really am. But I got to bring you my thoughts because people expect to hear it, et cetera, et cetera. And I do have thoughts on it. Don't get me wrong. I have thoughts on it. I just, it's sort of like when I say I don't want to talk about, I will never, when I talk about the Parkland shooting, I will never again mention the name of the shooter. I just won't. Maybe after he is put to death, if he is, I would talk about his, I would mention his name, but I will no longer do that. I will not mention the names of the people at Columbine. I will not mention the name of the Virginia Tech. Well, his I couldn't pronounce probably, but I will not mention their names anymore. You know why? Because I'm not going to dignify them. I'm not going to give them the notoriety. And in this, it's almost like I feel like I'm doing that. I'll give you one name, John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts. Now, again, Rush Limbaugh made a good point the other day. He said, anybody know who the Chief Justice was before John Roberts that presided over the Clinton impeachment? He said probably 90% of the people out there couldn't name it. I was able to, William Rehnquist. But John Roberts, Rush said, John Roberts is just there. He's a timekeeper. He doesn't want to be there. No, John Roberts just had to talk. He had to open up his mouth and say something about both sides. Really? Could he not just keep his mouth shut? Don't talk. Let this play out. Let the Democrats, I'm sorry, I'm partisan here. Let the Democrats make fools of themselves. Don't try to make it sound like you're some wonderful referee. That's my one point. Another thought, the managers, the Democratic quote-unquote impeachment managers and their leadership are embarrassing themselves. It is embarrassing to hear them. And worse, they're corrupting the whole process. They really are, but it's embarrassing nonetheless to hear them talk. I can't believe that there are people out there that are listening to them and saying, right on. It really just absolutely blows my mind, and my faith in humanity takes a hit, no doubt. Here's another thought. The memes. Jeez, the memes are flying all over. Facebook, Twitter, I don't care. The memes are flying. Many of them literally are pushing this theme that one I saw, not wanting witnesses equals guilt. That's what they're saying. In other words, yeah, not wanting witnesses equals guilt. The problem with that theme, I'll tell you what, House Dems had their witnesses. What they don't really, what they don't want, and what they're deliberately, that's why this meme is deliberately misleading. What they don't want is defense witnesses. And they certainly don't want defense cross-examination. That's what they don't want. They want witnesses, just theirs. But they're saying, what they're saying is that the defense doesn't want witnesses. No, there are Republican senators who don't want witnesses because they know it's just going to be more of the same, what we've had before, a one-sided, illegal. If I mean, for a court of law, it would be illegal, but they don't want, the Democrats don't want cross-examination. They don't want defense witnesses. Welcome Lovely Dove to the chat room, by the way, along with Annie. Okay, I'll tell you what, Pelosi, Schiff, and the others, they've let it slip several times. This was a fait accompli. From the moment Donald J. Trump was lawfully elected president of the United States on November 8th of 2016, this didn't start with the Ukrainian call. This didn't even start with the Russia collusion hoax. This started the day President Trump became president, or was elected president, became president-elect. The specifics of the allegations may change all they want. The charges can change. Hell, the witnesses can change. The identity of the whistleblower can change. The witch hunt has been going on since Donald Trump was declared president-elect. It has been a continually open hunting season. Hell, as a hunter, I can tell you, hunting seasons close. There are reasons for it. Migratory patterns, birth patterns of animals, mating patterns, mating seasons, et cetera, et cetera. There are reasons that there are closed hunting seasons, that there are non-seasons. In this case, no. It has been a continually open witch hunt since November 9th, 2016. Pelosi and Schiff have let that slip. Nadler as well. They didn't mean to, but they've all but said this is going to, it's been ongoing, it's going to go on. Okay, let's see what else I'm thinking here. I've written some of these down. Okay, the mainstream media, otherwise known as the Democratic Party Public Relations Office, they've worked overtime to bring in opinions of people literally who have no insight, no legal knowledge, a complete lack of understanding of our Constitution. It's unbelievable some of the people they're marching out here and what they have to say and how quickly I'm willing to turn off when I hear it, especially. And here's another one. Evidently, obstruction of Congress includes the legal and accepted use of executive privilege, even for witnesses that have not been called. Literally, they have said that President Trump will use executive privilege. And they're calling that obstruction of Congress. Never mind the fact that every president at some point has used executive privilege. Never mind the fact that a previous attorney general, Eric Holder, not only abused executive privilege on behalf of his boss, but was held in contempt of Congress. An obstructed Congress. But now obstruction of Congress includes the idea that the president might exert executive privilege. Literally. For witnesses that were never called. And frankly, for witnesses that they had no intention of calling. That's what we're seeing with this impeachment hoax. Literally, we are seeing people that are just beyond idiotic with some of the stuff that they're saying. Beyond non-knowledgeable about some of this stuff. It's mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling. We will hopefully we will never see anything like this again. I mean, people always say, "Oh, they're opening the door," and all. I hope not. If it does, then yeah, we ought to pack it in. Okay, I said I'd talk about the Super Bowl, and I did. I talked a little bit about the fact San Francisco is a bigger dump than Kansas City. Kansas City is trying to catch up. They had their shootings over the weekend after their team won to clinch the berth. But, well, there's some other stuff. The Super Bowl, like I said, it's upcoming. I'll tell you what, a lot of things happen around Super Bowl time. A lot of tendencies happen to jump out. People overeat at Super Bowl parties. People overeat in sports bars at Super Bowl, during Super Bowl. People eat crap they don't normally eat. Drinking. A lot of people drink more. People drive when they shouldn't. Gambling. People gamble on the Super Bowl. People who can't afford to gamble. People who don't gamble responsibly. People who can't control their gambling. Like I said, the previously mentioned shooting, cities go nuts. Remember in Philadelphia a few years ago when Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl? Philadelphia leadership and police greased utility poles to keep people from being able to climb up and down them. Literally, they greased utility poles in anticipation of the moronic behavior that would ensue. Yeah, mobs, riots, cars being overturned. People of all stripes portraying themselves as experts on TV, on radio, on the internet. ESPN.com alone has 25 people that have no business talking about the Super Bowl, talking about the Super Bowl. I'll tell you what else it is, though. And I'm hoping to have someone talk next week on this. Super Bowl is the high time for child trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, and sex crimes against children. That the Super Bowl brings that out, both at the location and in surrounding areas. Yeah, for some reason, sex trafficking is huge at the Super Bowl. I don't know it. I don't know why. But like I said, hopefully next week, I hope to have someone on who'll be able to talk about that. Maybe even answer some questions about it. I don't pretend to know why. I don't pretend to understand. You know, I talked about transgender athlete stuff being twisted. Same as this. I mean, I get that there are people that for some reason are excited, sexually excited by children. I will never understand it. I will never understand why in some places people are trying to normalize it. And again, I'm not talking about even Epstein type stuff. I'm not even talking about a 40-year-old marrying a 20-year-old. I'm talking about people that for some reason sex crimes against children that get their jollies off whatever with kids. I will never understand it. I don't get it. Do they need help? Yes. But they also need to be locked up and kept away. Well, anyway, the Super Bowl is a huge time for sex trafficking, particularly sexual crimes against children. So, like I said, hopefully next week I will have someone on who can talk a bit about that. Maybe why it happens at the Super Bowl or during the Super Bowl. And why there are sickos out there and why we're not catching them. You know, like I said, Virginia is gonna go on a whim, go after people on red flag laws. And yet we've got these sex crimes that happen and these exploitation of children and child trafficking. And that's not being caught. You know, people say Epstein didn't kill himself. And if not, it's probably because there's a lot more of this stuff than we ever want to let on. So hopefully that's what we'll have a little bit of next week. I really hope so. One person I reached out to is not available, but said that they would try to get someone else that would be. So I will get that into my showrunner earlier. Look on the Global Patriot Radio board and see what upcoming episodes are, and I'll tell you that I've got someone coming on when I know that. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the news of the day, of course, next week. Probably talk more about the impeachment hoax. Like I said, I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to have to watch it. But sometimes it's the train wreck. It's the car wreck you don't want to turn away from. But by the same token, gosh, the internet memes, the opinionated stuff is just... Annie makes a good point. Raging testosterone from bullies with inferiority complex. Not macho enough to land a real woman. That would be part of it. But I'm sorry. I'm a guy. I've heard rationales like the reason a guy might want to get it on with another guy is because he just doesn't get enough sex. Who does? I've never gone out and looked for a guy to have sex with. Same with, well, I can't get a woman, so I'll get a, you know, I've never gone out and looked for a teenager or a kid to have sex with because I'm normal, if you want to call it that. So that explains part of it, but it certainly doesn't explain the fact that somebody would be excited about any kind of interaction with a 12-year-old. It's just so wrong. And like I said, I'll try to find out more because I don't understand it. I never will understand it. At least to understand the fact that somebody can get off on it. I acknowledge that somebody can be excited by that or can be stimulated by that. I'll never understand it. I probably don't want to understand it. But I would like some more insight, and that's why I would hope to bring in somebody who really does know what's going on, the types of things. You know, there are probably people you know that are part of being victimized, if not by quote-unquote trafficking, that are probably victimized by some sort of sex crime, maybe domestic violence even, more than we know. And yet we don't. We think, well, no, they'd tell us if they were. Not always. You know, they talk about with kids, for instance, how kids are often exploited. One reason is because, hey, here, have some beer with me. And so you let them. And then you use the, you know what, I don't want to have to tell your parents about the fact you drink beer. So you better do this for me. You know, that kind of, I get that that's a mechanism. But again, I also never understand why, the how. Even, I mean, we can get to the how. We can understand some of the how. But the why. And why it would continue and why it's, I mean, you know, the Penn State scandal a couple of years ago, no one's ever understood why Jerry Sandusky was able to get away with it for so long. And it's the same thing with, you know, why did Epstein get away with it for so long? Blackmail. Yeah. People covering up. Yeah. But somebody has to speak up at some point. So maybe I'll get someone on that'll be able to understand and talk about why some of that doesn't happen. So on that note, I'm, for the most part, out of time. I've had a good time ranting and raving, and that's, I'm sorry if I've seemed like I'm ranting and raving, but like I said, I get going on certain topics, and I do get indignant. I do get mad. No two ways about it. Exploiting a child, you'll never have my sympathy. You'll never have my understanding. Trying to circumvent the Second Amendment, you'll never have my understanding. You'll never have my sympathy. I will listen to what you don't like about gun violence and probably agree with a lot of it. I will never, ever excuse you wanting to circumvent or disavow the Second Amendment. It's fact. It's just the way it is. So I'll never let you say transgender is just about equality, Hank. That either. Especially when it takes away the rights of female athletes. So don't go there with me. Those are the things. That'll get me ranting, raving, etc. Thank you to Lovely Dove, who was here for a bit. Thank you to Annie, who was on the chat board tonight. Annie, sorry we didn't have more people talking, more people that could chime in. So anyway, folks, I am out. Y'all have a good one. Love y'all. God bless. Good night, folks.